A new congressional candidate video is drawing lots of attention this morning.
I was an undercover CIA operative. My assignment was preventing rogue states and terrorists from getting nuclear weapons.
The video shows a woman driving a black Camaro going backwards on a southwestern dirt road.
Now I'm running for Congress because we're going backwards on national security, health care, and women's rights.
Then the car swings around to a stop, and the woman getting out is former CIA agent Valerie Plame. She's running for Congress in neighboring New Mexico.
And Mr. President, I've got a few scores to settle.
Plame is one of a growing number of women running for Congress. Here in Arizona, we have two female senators. In her new book, CJ and Wynn, The Inspiring Story of Women Changing Politics, Caitlin Moscatello chronicles the story of women seeking higher office, and she joins me now. Caitlin, how did what Hillary Clinton experienced in 2016 inspire more women to run, and how much of that was actually a reaction to Donald Trump and his behavior and his politics?
So it's really two things. So yes, I mean, women that I talked to in the 2 years of reporting this book, I talked to candidates across the country, and I would, of course, hear that Hillary Clinton had inspired them. But I think really what we saw was two things. So we saw women across the country watched Hillary Clinton, who was this incredibly qualified candidate, who had this long political resume. They saw her lose, and they saw her lose not just to any candidate. They saw her lose to someone with no political qualifications to speak of, who was known to many Americans as, you know, the star of The Apprentice, who had been caught on tape bragging about sexually assaulting women not too long before the election, and that he still won. So it wasn't just that, you know, Hillary had inspired them or that Hillary had lost and they were angry that she lost. It was also the fact that they watched this unqualified man win. They watched him take her place. And one of the things that has historically kept women off the ballot is this qualification barrier. Women, much more than men, will think, oh, I'm not qualified enough to run for office, or I have to have more experience, or I have to start smaller and work my way up. And that has really kept women from running. And seeing Donald Trump win, there was kind of this realization, this moment of, well, if that guy can be president of the United States, you know, surely I can run for my state legislature or for Congress or for city council or whatever the office may be.
So specifically, the women that you profile in CJ and Wynn, there's such an authenticity to each of them. And I wonder, that word can be overused these days, but when it comes to women being able to be themselves as men are supposedly able to be themselves. How big a step was that for candidates in 2018? Do you think we'll see more of that style in 2020?
Coming off of 2016 and then looking at what we saw in the 2018 midterms, I mean, women had watched Hillary Clinton pretty much play by the maybe more traditional rule book, right? You know, who are we used to seeing in office? We're used to seeing older white men in office. White men still dominate our political system, and it's because they run for office more than anyone else. But I think that there did used to be more of a tendency, I think, for women to try to fit themselves into this traditional political mold or this mold of maybe what a candidate should be, which happened, you know, because there's just so many white men in office. That was the mold. And I think that really got thrown out the door after 2016. And so in the 2018 election cycle, women saw Hillary Clinton lose. And I think there was a little bit of this reaction of like, well, then I'm just going to put it on the table. Like, I'm just going to be myself. The stakes felt very, very high for the women that I spoke with who ran in the 2018 election cycle. And there was very much this feeling of, I'm just going to run who I am. I'm going to run as myself. I'm going to be true to who I am. And in that, you know, there's different examples of that. So we saw women who were talking really openly about their experiences as being, you know, mothers on the campaign trail, talking about affordable child care. There were women bringing young children to their campaign events when in other years they would have been encouraged not to. They, in the background, you know, we had the Me Too movement, of course, going on during that election cycle. And there were female candidates who were openly talking about their own experiences with sexual assault, with sexual harassment. And not only were they talking about their experiences, but they were also creating policy to protect other women from those experiences and other girls from those experiences. The authenticity didn't feel forced, and it really, I think, did energize voters around them. Now, in terms of going forward in 2020, you know, a presidential race is always a different animal, and we really just don't have much to go off of when in terms of women running for president, right? And so I think there have been some gaffes. Like, I think early on in her campaign, Elizabeth Warren, there was that whole drinking a beer thing, and some people didn't react to that. You know, they didn't necessarily think that was the most authentic thing. But I really do think she's very much found her groove as this professorial policy wonk, which is who she is. And she, I think, is leaning into that increasingly more.
So I live in a state in Arizona where it's been a number of years, but we had a run where the top five statewide office holders in Arizona were women. Both of our U.S. senators are women. But is there a difference in terms of whether people are generally, I mean, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, so I'm not downplaying that. But is there a feeling that more people are hesitant? They may say, well, okay, having a female governor, great. A female mayor, great. Oh, a president, I'm still struggling with that. Do you see that? And if so, why is that? Why does that still exist?
Yeah, well, I think the thing we have to remember, so unfortunately, we only have this one example of a woman being a major party nominee for president, right? We have this one person and this one election, which was a very unique election. That's all we're going off of. And so I do think it's unfortunate that right now there are reports, you know, that there's a lot of fear about, and I understand the stakes are, if you're a Democrat, you know, the stakes are very high for 2020. And so I do think that there is this fear of if Hillary Clinton didn't win, she won the popular vote, but she didn't win the election. So we can't risk that again. It's too high. Trump's running. We just have to put someone, anyone against him who's going to run. And kind of this tendency to think, okay, let's just revert back to what we used to do, which is kind of relying on, you know, I'm using air quotes, but the safe candidate who, you know, is sort of this more moderate white male candidate. And this idea of like, okay, well, independents or maybe more moderate Republicans might be pulled in by that. And that's how we'll win. I think that's a mistake. I think if we look at what we saw in 2018, we saw energy around women running for office, and not just women, but it was diverse women. And so I think what we should be doing is looking at where we are now. We should be looking at where the energy is within the Democratic Party, who are the voters, what are the issues they care about, and not necessarily falling back on this, quite frankly, dated stereotype of who can win elections. Because the real fact of the matter is, nobody knows.
Caitlin Moscatello is author of the new book, See Jane Win, The Inspiring Story of the Women Changing American Politics. Great to talk with you. Thanks for the time.
You too. Thank you so much.